Take a minute and welcome everybody to Vision Sunday this morning. No matter what venue you find yourself today, our gathering, our East York campus, thank you for being here. And as you can see from the video, we've really, I think, in a lot of ways had an awesome year in so many ways, not without its challenges, but here we are today after an awesome year like this past year, and we stand at the cusp of another. And it's a joy for us to be able to speak and to thank God for all of that and to think about what he wants to do for the future. You know, from time to time, when God was leading his people through the promised land, he would tell them to stop and celebrate everything that God had done in their lives. And that's really, I think, in many respects, kind of what we like to do here on Vision Sunday. And we're going to be talking about that more in our afternoon meetings, actually, at both of our campuses. But just to kind of give you a little sneak peek into what we are celebrating, here's the next slide here, and look at just a couple things that the Lord has done this past year. Some of our attendances and new members and the baptisms we've had the privilege of being a part of. By God's grace, we set and met a God-sized budget. Glory to God for that. I don't know if you noticed that the York Daily Record called our Opioid Sunday one of their top stories of this past year. It was awesome to see that in the newspaper. We were in the honorable mention category, but we were a part of that, all of that. One of the most exciting things that at least that we're going to talk about even in our afternoon meetings is our Faith Works conversation that we began in the spring in light of our study in the book of James, which resulted in something that I think, a big thing that God did in our midst when he really encouraged us as a congregation to be for York and for the world, and to make sure that we don't just exist for ourselves and the four walls of this church. So those are just a few things that we're going to be celebrating, and we are celebrating today. And as I said, we encourage you to stick around for lunch and an expanded time of vision casting. But in the time that we have right now in our time, if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we want to spend a few minutes getting some clarity about why you exist. Have you ever thought about that, about why you exist, about why your family exists, about why this church exists? You know, why do we do the things that we do around here? Why do we show up and worship every Sunday and give? Why do we serve? Why do we connect with each other? And I think that clarity is found here in a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. It's also a prayer that many of us, I think, in leadership also pray for you individually, for our own families, but also for the life of our church. And so Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, listen as I read these words for us today. Paul said this, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Now, somebody once said that there are two great days in our lives: the day that we are born and the day when you find out the reason why you're born. And today we're going to talk about why it is that we're born, why it is that we exist. And I actually believe that that kind of clarity is something that fixes a lot of problems in our lives as people. And so we're going to talk about this idea today. Why is it that you and I exist, and why is it that God has given us life? And so let's talk about some of that here. I've got four answers to that today. And the first one is this: to know the living God. Why is it that we exist? To know the living God. And here is, again, what Paul says there in verse 17 of the text. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Could you turn me down just a little bit? I kind of feel like I'm a little loud here today. So, number one, reason why we exist, and that is so that we know God. Now, I don't know about the rest of you here today, but I like reading biographies. I've read lots and lots of biographies from JFK to George Bush to Billy Graham, even to Bruce Springsteen's biography. So I kind of like to read a little widely there. I've learned a lot about these people. I've learned some things about these people that I didn't really want to know, actually, as I read that. But, you know, even though I like to read about this and learn information and all that kind of stuff, I don't really know these people. I know about them, but I don't know them personally. And when the Apostle Paul told us here in Ephesians chapter 1 that he wants us to know God better, he could have actually used two different words. He could have, first of all, used the Greek word gnosis, which means that I have information about somebody, that I learn facts and figures about somebody else. But then he could have also used this word epignosis, and that's actually the word that he uses there, which talks about a deeper, fuller kind of experiential knowledge here. And so Paul is talking here, not just knowing some things about God, but actually knowing God. And so let me say to you today, I believe that everything in life starts with knowing God. I believe that you will find out why you exist. You'll have meaning and purpose in your life like you've never had before. And it begins by having a relationship with God. You can actually leave here this morning. If you're here today and you're not really sure where you are with God, you actually can leave here this morning and you can know that you have a relationship with God. And that's why we exist. It's one of the reasons, it's probably the big reason why, as a church, we exist to help men and women, boys and girls, come to know the living God. Now, if you have your Bible, you can go to the book of Matthew chapter 7, because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus said some strong words to these people called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were religious people who oftentimes chided Jesus about some of the things that he said and did. You don't want to be a Pharisee, FYI. And so they were people who kind of had all their P's and Q's in a row religiously, but they didn't know God. And this is why Jesus said some of these things. Listen to what he said here in Matthew chapter 7. Maybe one of the strongest things our Lord ever said. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Let me read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Now, when we read those words, all of us probably ought to have a little bit of a shiver kind of go down through us. Because what he's saying there is that one day, some folks who did a lot of Christian things aren't going to make it. One day, people who served as pastors, people who served as elders, people who drove out demons, people who performed miracles are going to stand in front of the living God, and he's going to say, but I didn't know you. And so, church, this morning, you've got to know God. Can I get a witness here? We exist. It's in your notes today. We exist to help people get clarity about how to know God. Our mission is to ignite a passion in knowing God. The real joy of our lives is not that we've been here to watch all these things happen this past year. The real joy of our lives is when people come to know God personally, because that is what truly changes a person's life. And so here's an action step that I'd like everybody to just kind of think through today. Can you say that you know God? Can you say that you have a personal relationship that is real, that is powerful with God? Paul says the reason why we exist is to know God. There's a second reason why you exist. A second reason why we exist as a church, and that is, secondly, to find freedom. To find freedom, to help people find freedom in their lives. And here's what Paul says there in that 18th verse of the book of Ephesians. He says the second prayer, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The eyes of your heart enlightened. Now, the word heart, it's a beautiful word in the Greek language. It's the Greek word cardia. We get our word cardiologist from that. Cardiogram, whatever it is that they do that. And it means the center of knowledge and wisdom and direction. And then Paul says that not only do we have a heart, but look at what it says there in the text. He also says that our heart has what? Our heart has eyes. And so he's talking here about the eyes of our heart. And so that's a hard line to understand, I think, in the original. But here's what I think he's talking about. He's talking about the epicenter, if you will, of our hearts, where we hold our issues, where we hold, you know, our wounds, where we hold our hurts, where we hold good and bad experiences of our lives, the place in our heart where we hold our hopes and our dreams, and it's kind of the center of all that we are. And what he's saying, I think, there is that sometimes the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our heart get clogged. Because he says, I pray that you'll have clarity in the eyes of your heart. Now, we have five beautiful grandchildren, and two of our granddaughters have glasses, and they've had to get them at a young age. And the joke in our family is that that's the result of the weak, Reedy genes, because all of us as Reedies, we all have glasses. Our kids have had to have glasses when they were very young as well. And I don't know about you, but I think they look so cute in those glasses. But it's amazing how quickly those glasses get dirty. You know, imagine two-year-old kids, three-year-old kids with glasses on. You know, you think to yourself, how do they even keep them on? Because they can see. That's why they keep them on. It's amazing. They can be 2 years of age, and you think that they're going to be playing. No. As soon as they put them on, they can see, and they actually stay on. But they get dirty. It's amazing how dirty those glasses get. And so, you know, I know the mom and dads are always doing that, but whenever grandma and grandpa are around, it's kind of like my little mission to take the glasses off and let me see here, and then to spit in them or whatever it takes to kind of clean them off, and I'll clean them off and put them back on the girls again, and just kind of a beautiful thing that grandpas do, I guess. Well, you know, I think that once you and I know God and are in a relationship with Him, one of the things that we need to do after we come into a relationship with God is to clean up our issues. How about a church? You know, a lot of people think that they have to clean themselves up and then come into a relationship with God. I meet people like that all the time. They say, you know what, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I need to clean all this stuff up before I come to know God. No, listen to me this morning. You just come to know God exactly as you are, and you let Him clean up your stuff. Right, church? That's how it works. And I think Paul is going after that here in this particular passage of Scripture. And so if we know God, even if we know God, we're still going to have some issues in our lives. We're still going to have addictions and maybe issues of forgiveness. We're going to have hurts and habits and hang-ups. And if you don't think you have issues, that's an issue in your life, by the way. And where are those issues? Those issues are in our hearts, right? That's the seed of us, of who we are. That's why Paul said this. You ought to write this down in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, above all else, wow, There's only a few times in the Bible where God says above all else. And when he does, we ought to think about that. Above all else, in other words, more than anything else that we do. Above all else. What, church? Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Wow. And so we have our hearts. They are the seat of our emotions. We have the eyes of our hearts. It's the center of all that we are. And sometimes inside of our hearts that we have issues there. So how do I get rid of my issues? Well, to know God is the first one, but then we also have to get to know other people. That's what James is saying there in James 5 and verse 16. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed, right? And so this is one of the reasons why we have people in our lives. It's one of the reasons why we have ministries like Celebrate Recovery and Big God, Little Addiction Support Group and Bible studies and people who come alongside of other people and counsel them. Why do we do that? Because we have hearts and our hearts have issues. And one of the ways that God uses that helps us to get healed in our hearts is by coming alongside of somebody else and having somebody come alongside of us and pray for us and encourage us. And so here's an action step that I want you to think about this morning in light of this. Get involved in a small group here at COD. God's way of healing, I believe, is not only to know him, but also to get some trusted people to come alongside of us with whom we can say, I'm struggling, I'm wrestling with something. This is why I like to say, as a church, we are what I like to call a big church and a small church. So we are a big church because everybody needs Jesus. That's why we're going to keep growing, by the way, church. You know that? But we're also a small church because we also need to be able to come alongside of each other and be an encouragement to somebody. And so, you know, sometimes people say, you know, we're too big at COD. Well, here's my answer to that. Don't you want everybody to know Jesus? Really? So stop saying that. Stop saying we're too big at COD. Don't you? We're going to keep growing, church, because we want as many people as possible to come to know Jesus. Now, I understand we're not the only church in the world, but we are a church that God is using. And so we're going to keep growing because we're going to keep adding campuses, God willing, because we want everybody in York, 75% of the people in York don't know God. So we're going to keep growing because we want to see more and more people come to know Jesus. But we're also going to keep growing smaller, right? We're also going to make sure that we have spots in the life of our church where we have people who can come alongside of us and be an encouragement to us and pray with us and help us work through the stuff and the junk and the issues that all of us have. And so why do we exist? Why do you exist? Number one, to know God. Number two, to find freedom. Is there anybody in this room this morning? Is there anybody today within the sound of my voice who has known God for a long, long time, but you still haven't found freedom? You're still wrestling with hurts and habits and hang-ups. And they're keeping you stuck. Wow. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be uncluttered, clarified so that you can walk in a way that brings God glory. We're here to help you do that. Listen, we're just a bunch of beggars trying to help other beggars find bread. That's who we are here. And so nobody's going to judge you if you've walked with the Lord for 30 years and you're still struggling with some issue that has its tentacles around your neck. Nobody's going to judge you for that. It can happen to anybody. We're here to know God, church. We're here to find freedom. This is a third reason why we're here. We're also here to discover our purpose. We're here to discover our purpose. Paul said there in the 18th verse, he says, I pray that you'll understand the hope to which God has called you. Such a full and rich phrase. Let me say here today, I think the order there is intentional. Before we can move forward after knowing God, we've got to have our hearts cleared of the stuff that's polluting them. If we don't clear our hearts and deal with our issues, we're not going to find our calling. Many people never really get clear about their purpose because they don't ever get their hearts clear. They can't see tomorrow because they're always looking back at yesterday. But once you get through that, Paul says there's a third thing here is I want you to know why you exist. I want you to know the purpose that God has given to you. I love that. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, we learn some great things. It says there that we all have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And so each and every one of us, when we come to know Christ, God's given us a particular gift or a grace, he calls it there, to do his work. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, and verse 10, it says that each of us should use whatever gift that we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. And so when you came to know God, church, when I came to know God, God gave us a gift. And he wants us to use that gift to serve other people. I have it in your notes this morning here. Your gift is that calling that God has placed upon you that causes you to say, I was made for this. I was made for this. Do you understand what that is for you? Do you know that 87% of Christ's followers never get to this spot? Think about that. 87% of us never really figure out that gift, that calling that God has placed upon our lives that causes us to say, I was made for this. Are you one of those? We want to help you change that and understand what that is. We live in a day, of course, when secular neuroscientists and other people say that we have no soul, you know, that we just kind of exist because we exist, that we're these like tiny specks in the infinite universe. And you know, do you ever wonder why people walk through life without any meaning? Do you ever wonder why people are anxious and depressed and suicidal and all that stuff? It's because of what some of these neuroscientists and others like to say to us, that we're just like accidents of the universe. No, listen, if you know the living God, God wants you to know him. He wants to clean up your junk, and then he wants to give you a calling, a reason for living and existing. And when you find out that calling, look what Paul says there in that passage. He says, when you find out that calling, you find hope. You find hope. And so I love that idea. You know, we exist as a congregation. Our real joy does not come from filling up auditoriums with people. Our real joy comes from helping people understand the unique journey that God has put them on. And so what is your journey? What is the, who is, how has God wired you? Some of you here today, you love to work with your hands. Others of you like to work with your mind. Some of you like to welcome people. Some of you like to organize things. Thank God for you. Some of you like to pray. Some of you like to work with finances. Others of you like to work with children and students. We really praise God for you, because I would just want some duct tape and eye masks if I were involved in some of those kind of ministries. But here's an action step for you. However it is that God has wired you, go do it, church. Go do it, but find it out. Find it out. That's why we're here, to help people know God and find freedom and discover their purpose. And then there's a fourth thing that I think Paul is talking about. He says we're here actually to make a difference in our lives, to make a difference in the lives of other people. Listen to what he says here as he kind of begins to explain that there in the latter half of verse 18 and into 19. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as this mighty strength, Paul says, that raised Jesus from the dead. You and I are not afterthoughts of the Almighty. I love that. And I want you to look closely there at those verses, because if I'm reading the top part of that correctly, I'm reading that he's not talking about our inheritance. He's saying that we are his inheritance. Read that closely. He's saying that you, think about that, as broken and messed up and goofed up as you and I can be, we are actually the inheritance of God. That's an amazing thought. That we are special and valued and purposed in the eyes of God. We are the treasure of God. And so the result of that is what he's saying is that we can know the living God. We can serve. We take that inheritance. And with the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we can go out into the world in which God has placed us and make a difference. And so, therefore, church, our real fulfillment and our real joy in life doesn't come from golf. It doesn't come from money, our cars, our houses, or watching your favorite team win the Super Bowl. Our real joy doesn't come from any of those things. Our real joy comes from making a difference in somebody else's life. That's who we are. And I think I have it in your notes there. If you make a difference in someone's life, it'll make a difference in you. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that the best times of my life are when I'm serving other people. I mean, there's nothing like using what God has given you to make a difference in someone else's life. Not only does it help other people, but wow, does it do something powerful in each of our lives. And so we are here as individuals. You're here as a mom, a dad, an office worker, a factory worker, construction worker, whatever you are, whoever you find yourself in contact with. As a church, we're here to know God, to find freedom, to discover why God has made us, and to make a difference in the world in which God has placed us. Now, some of us are old enough here today to remember a company called Blockbuster. Anybody remember Blockbuster? Wow. Okay. How many of you had one of those little blue Blockbuster cards down through the years? Right. I remember Blockbuster. You know, we used to always, you know, go to Blockbuster. There was a time when if your family craved a movie night, you went to one of Blockbuster's, church, 9,000 stores in the United States of America alone. They were the company that reigned supreme at one time in the video industry. And so, but when times were changing, Blockbuster actually doubled down on its store model. And while that was happening, there was this little startup called Netflix. And they were experimenting with a number of things. They were experimenting with an online subscription model. They were experimenting with no late fees. How many of you paid a late fee at Blockbuster down through the years? Yeah. And in fact, listen to this. The president of Netflix, way back when, went to the president of Blockbuster and said, you know what, we ought to merge our companies together. We could really make a lot of money. And the president of Blockbuster said no. He kind of laughed the president of Netflix out of his office that day. And 10 years later, by the way, Netflix is the largest source of streaming entertainment in North America, and Blockbuster has declared bankruptcy. Wow. In just 10 years. Now, in every generation, I think, we in the church, we have similar challenges. As a congregation, there are some things about us that should never change. Amen? There are some things like the Word of God and the worship of God and encouraging each other and being about serving God and being for York and being for the world, those are things that should never, ever change. If you're here at COD in 2019 and you're here at COD in 2059, we should be doing those things. And so there are some things about our church that should never change. And part of our job, church, part of your job is to preserve those things so that this can always be a place where people come to know God, find freedom, find their purpose, and make a difference. But there are some things that should change. There are some things that must change. And part of our job is to figure out the things that should never change and preserve them, and figure out the things that should change and walk people through them so that as a church, we can, so that your kids and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren will one day want to be a part of this place, this awesome place that helps people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Vision Sunday is our opportunity each year to kind of step back, figure out how we're doing, celebrate, evaluate, and cast vision so that we don't miss any opportunity to influence our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you, COD, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together, shall we, as we prepare our hearts today to receive communion and fellowship with our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments here today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a calling. Thank you for giving us purpose.